Hello and welcome back to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio's co-producer, Assist One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asek of Asek Real Estate, Danielle Rocco of Echo 6 Creations, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination. This is year two of me doing a focus series on Black History Month in the military, and this was really a catalyst from my next guest, who's been gracious enough to return, Deputy Secretary Andrea Gail Bennett, Brigadier General retired, and that's a mouthful, with a special story. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you so much for having me. It really is a pleasure, and I really do. It's an honor to do this.
My first thought, Deputy Secretary, if we can go back just a little bit, is we're at Mia Ragazza in Abington. You had just come down to give a speech about the veterans' widow experience and widows of veterans, and we were outside talking for a few minutes, and we took this picture. I might flash it up. I don't know just yet. Where you have your sunglasses on, I've got my sunglasses on, and it's like you're telling me, Lance Corporal, man up, get the Humvee going. We're getting ready to go get some. That just has stuck with me for a long time. But you're everywhere across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts as the Deputy Secretary for the Executive Office of Veteran Services. We're talking about Black History Month and how it relates to the current experience for veterans. But just to start off with, what's going on in the Commonwealth for veterans? Because there's a lot of change going on.
There is a lot of change going on. We have a new secretary who's coming in. He starts later this month. In the meantime, I'm serving as the interim. But during Black History Month, we have a few observances and displays. One, we have at the State House in Memorial Hall, we have commemorative banners that honor Black Americans who contributed throughout history in the military and some civic leadership. I was out at the General Gourdin Memorial Park, General Gourdin and Veterans Memorial Park, and that was a stop on the legacy trail that our office created to recognize all of the memorials across Massachusetts. But General Gourdin was an incredible Black service member, judge, Olympian. He was pretty incredible. And then we're just highlighting stories of Black veterans and community leaders across the state this year.
Well, I did a series, a show about the 54th Massachusetts Memorial right by the State House, and it still astonished me, Deputy Secretary, how many people walk by that memorial every day and have really no idea of what it is. And it's a beautiful memorial, and that got me thinking. I did a show on that, and then I learned through the DAV magazine about the Harlem Hellfighters, and this. There's a lot I don't know about, the military in general, and to be expected, but I didn't know how much Black service members, Black Americans had given to our country. And what can we do to get around that or overcome that?
Well, it's a matter of just sharing the stories. Excuse me. It's just sharing the stories. I mean, this is Black History Month. It should be every month of the year, and Black history is, as they say, is American history. And you're right. There are a lot of stories out there that we just don't know. They just weren't told. And so I'm calling it, Black excellence in the Massachusetts veteran community. All of the people that I know, I shouldn't even say all, some of the people that I know that are doing incredible things right here in Massachusetts, that some were years ago, some are doing it right now. And so I'd love to be able to share some of those people and their stories with you.
Please do, because I love learning about this aspect of our history, American history. So do you have anybody? Because I'm sure there is. Please.
So the first one I want to bring up is someone by the name of Marvin Gilmore. I attended a Korean War veteran service in, I think I was in Woburn. I'm not sure where I was. I go so many places. In any case, I met this gentleman. He's 101 years old. He was a World War II veteran, and he was one of the few black men who landed on Utah Beach at Normandy. And then I found out that he was the inspiration for the movie Saving Private Ryan. And when you think about that movie didn't even have any black people in the movie, but he's the reason for that story. And what's even more fascinating, he lives in Cambridge. He's actually the founder of the first black-owned bank in Massachusetts. I don't know if you've heard of Unity Bank and Trust. It was in Roxbury. And like I said, it was the first black-owned, and it was at a time when black veterans were locked out of financial systems. And he started that bank because he went for a loan and couldn't get the loan. So he started this. And so that legacy to me is what matters today, especially when we talk about things like economic stability and home ownership and generational wealth for veterans. So that's a name that we should all know.
So he did this, and again, I wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't told me about it just now, and we're magnifying that story. He overcame a lot, and he served in World War II. Did he serve in the Korean War? Did I hear that right?
No, we were at an event
Oh, okay.
related to the Korean War, and I met him at this event and found out that he was on the beaches of Normandy.
And he inspired Saving Private Ryan. And now, Deputy Secretary, I've got to go down this rabbit hole you just opened up for me. Okay. Who's next?
What's next?
Yeah, who's
So,
next?
what's next? So, when you think about building institutions,
Yep.
Another name that comes up for me is Nicole McLean. And she is someone that I met when I deployed to Iraq. And she is the founder of the North Shore Juneteenth Association. And what she has been building, I say it goes beyond a single event. She does a 5K, she does a night of excellence. She's created space for education and connection and healing, and especially for Black veterans and families. She's also a counselor at large in Lynn and is the chair of the Veterans Committee in Lynn. So she's doing a lot of great work in the veteran space as well, and a Black female.
So you met her while you were serving.
I met her, and this is the crazy thing. She's from Lynn. I live in Lynn. We didn't meet until we were in Iraq, which,
Was she like a mentor to you or just a colleague or?
just a colleague. She was one of the engineers. I went over with the 181st Engineers, and she was a member of the engineering company. And we met over there. And then we came home and thought, oh my goodness, we're both from this, both live in the same town. Let's stay in touch and keep working together.
What's the lesson here, though? Because, she's a black woman, served her country overseas, came back, and then, really set her roots to plant things or to grow institutions, as you said. What's the lesson here, not only for someone like me who didn't know about her, but for other black women who are trying to move through their military career?
I think the lesson is if you have an idea, go for it. If you need help putting that idea forward, just ask anyone around you. And really just go for it. Because, that was not on her radar to become a ward counselor to go into elected office when we were in Iraq. That's not what she was thinking about. But just as time went on and dreams came, and then she, watched other people, she said, you know what, maybe I can do this. And we're all around. As I say, Black excellence is all around, and we just need to highlight it.
Okay, so we're two for two. Who's next?
Who's next? Okay. So another name is someone that I like to talk about. Her name is Catherine King. She is the program director for the Veterans Outreach Center at Harvard Street Neighborhood Health Center. So it's plain and simple. She's a very direct person. Her organization supports veterans who are dealing with housing instability, benefits issues. They may be in a crisis situation. But what she's known for is that she just shows up. And especially, Harvard Street is in an area where typically underserved, historically underserved veterans. And she is there putting the work in, and she does several things. There's a lunch and learn program that she does where every other week she brings in speakers to talk about benefits or just issues that people may be having. They have computer classes so that people can become literate using computers, and they give the once the individuals graduate, they get to take home those computers. At Harvard Street, they give out supplies, they serve meals, they have a partnership with the DAV, who helps clients maneuver the complex system that is the VA. And we're really impressed with her at our office because we actually contract with them to help provide those services. So she's another person that I think is in the community, just doing good work, just every day, just going about her business, but serving veterans, providing the dignity, and just out there doing the work.
So for your office, the Executive Office of Veteran Services, you said that, you really enjoy working with her and support the work that she does. What's that mean to you all that you have someone who served, came back, and really could have done any number of things, but decided to serve in this capacity, and now you're able to collaborate with them to improve veterans' lives? It's almost like the quintessential veteran story, don't you think?
Absolutely. So, our mission, our vision is to honorably serve those who served us, and we can't do everything. And so people like Catherine are the hands and feet that are out there doing the work day in and day out. And so we're really grateful for that kind of work.
And it must, as a woman, I'm not a woman, but as a woman, you sit there, and I hear a lot of times in certain circles, like, I want a woman to emulate. I need to find an example so I can understand how to do what I'm trying to do because it can be lonely as a woman. It must be nice having these examples to say, hey, this person's doing that. Look what she did. She has your story. I gotta feel this, that has to be the case for you at times.
Absolutely. And there's so many other women, and I'm glad you said that. 'Cause we had the one man that I mentioned, but then as I was thinking about it, there are more and more women that I'm able to look at and see, these are women that are doing incredible things. And so I'll just throw out a couple other names.
Please do, please do.
So I'll throw out a few names and then I'll talk about one of them. Catherine Ann, oh, why am I blanking on her last name? Alexander. Catherine Ann Alexander is in the Army Reserves. She's a recruiter. She's a wonderful person to know who's doing excellent things. There's also Rashawn Morris, retired Coast Guard, and is working, I believe, as a contract now for the a contractor for the Coast Guard now. She's doing incredible things. But another name that I want to throw out there is Mary Dith Tewitt. And I don't know if you know her, but
Sounds
that,
familiar.
yep, she's someone you should know. She was appointed to the commission of the Massachusetts Caucus of Women Legislators in 2011. And she is now the chairwoman of the Massachusetts Commission on the Status of Women. And so that's incredible. So it's another appointment. She previously served as chief of staff for State Representative Gloria Fox. I don't know if you remember her.
Yep.
So she served, she did that, I believe, for over 10 years. And in 2024, she received the Deborah Sampson Award. And you know, the Deborah Sampson Award was formerly named the Outstanding Woman Veteran of the Year, and so it recognizes extraordinary service of women veterans, and the leadership that she brings, especially with the Mass Commission on the Status of Women, is about bridging policies and advocacy, and just using her lived experience. She's Navy. And we joke back and forth because I'm Army, she's Navy. but she understands how the system works and where they fall short, and she's out there advocating every day.
If I may, just on a personal level, I'm assuming some or most of you all are mothers yourselves. Your children must, look at you all and be like, my mom is really a different kind of mom in a good way to lead in this way. If you have a daughter who's trying to find her way through life or a son who is trying to understand how to collaborate and work with women, they have a living example right in front of them, right?
I hope so. I hope so. You know, when I come home, I don't come home saying, "Hey, look at me. You know, look at your great mom." But I think they recognize what they can do in this world, because there has been this example of myself and my husband. We have both tried to be role models for them, to do the right thing, to be honorable, to serve, give back. And so far, I am very proud of my children. I can tell you that much.
One of the themes that you've touched on is this reality of Black excellence. And you said that Black History Month should be every month. What is it though about the Black experience that makes you all strive to be excellent, to make sure that, because I will go back to the Harlem Hellfighters, like they were not welcomed by the regular US Army. The French actually were like, these men are ab above and beyond anything we had in, the Mass 54th, other things, General Colin Powell. What's the inner drive for that excellence to be the best you all can be?
You know, I think, and I can only speak for me, and I'm going to assume that this is what inspired others. It's always because we have always been behind the eight ball, we're always trying to prove our worth and to prove our value and to prove that we can do anything, that we're not substandard. And you know, that DEI, because that's a bad word these days, but DEI does not mean lowering the standard. It just means including us in the things that are being done.
Well, there is this theme of unity. Underneath DEI is you all come together. I serve with several different, ethnic backgrounds. And, as the Marine Corps Deputy Secretary, we were all treated the same way, but we all came together regardless. We all bled the same color. Going into this year, there's a lot going on in the Commonwealth and the national level. What can we as Americans do to make sure that soldiers and sailors and Marines, Black or otherwise, are supported?
No, I think the first thing for me, especially since I've been in this position now, and realize how important advocacy work is. So call your legislators, email your legislators, attend the town halls, and just speak up for your neighbor. You know, if you see an injustice, speak up, speak up, speak up. That's what I think is really helpful. Helpful these days. But I do want to talk about one other person,
Okay, all right,
Travis,
absolutely.
before we go. And you didn't pay me to do this, but I think I want to recognize you as well. As you mentioned, you're a proud Marine. You host this podcast.
You didn't have to do this.
Yeah, I do,
Oh,
because
yeah.
you know, every week you create space for service members and veterans just to talk about the issues that they face. And I think that's important. You know, and some people say, "Oh, well, he's just talking." But it's not just talking. It's you're building awareness around programs and services and benefits for veterans, and showcasing, like we're doing today, showcasing the people who do the real work to support our military and the veteran community. And so I think you're a strong advocate, and I think that you understand the power of storytelling, and that storytelling is also a way of service. And so I think when you give us this platform, you know, it validates our experience. We can talk about it. It's out there in the ether, and it really then connects people. And so I really want I like you as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you graciously, Deputy Secretary. I'm very humbled by your kind words. Look, folks, I've met her in, Abington several times, out on the trail. I mean, if you want to know what Oscar Mike looks like, she might be in Sandwich in the morning, and in Framingham in the afternoon, then coming back to Boston, then going home. Every day of the week. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. But, again, last year, you're like, hey, we'd like to do this Black History Month thing. And I'm thinking to myself, no one's really doing that. And why not? And then I again say, Secretary, how much I've learned digging into the Black military experience. I didn't know a lot about the Mass 54th. And I've walked past that memorial. Been very impressed by it. It's a very beautiful memorial, but like, what did it actually mean? So, again, right back to you. I thank you for, coming and serving us right where we are as veterans in the cities and towns in the Commonwealth. And we'll do this again next year.
I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, I've only mentioned a handful of names today, but there's so many more. And if people are interested in finding out, they could certainly reach out to me. There, you know, the Google machine is a great way to find things out. And like I said, 28 days is really is just not enough to contain the influence, the leadership, and the impact that these leaders have had across Massachusetts. So yeah, Black History Month may end on the 28th, but that doesn't mean we need to stop acknowledging Black achievement. So yeah, I'm thrilled, and I'm happy, and I will continue to do this work and work with you as needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, folks, she is Oscar Mike in like 5 minutes. I'm gonna let her go. But again, Deputy Secretary, on behalf of Oscar Mike Radio and everything that we stand for, thank you again for all your work. Thank you for your advocacy. As we say in Oscar Mike Radio, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co. Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.